the esteemed writer and Ford Frick Award winner for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, Bill Madden. Good enough to join us from the Daily News here on The Fan. How you been, Bill?
Good, Jody. It's, by the way, it's J.G. Taylor Spink Award, but that's okay.
What did I say? Frick.
The Frick is the broadcasters, which I wouldn't mind being in that wing either.
But you've stuck to the computer slash computer, the typewriter slash computer all these years, and we've appreciated your insight and writings. A general hypothetical question, then we'll start to get into some specifics. I'm just interested in your take on this. End of the season, two highest-ranked free agents are Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. If you are Team X and you have the ability to spend what the going rate's going to be, we'll put a number on it, let's say like 8 years and $300 million. You have that in your budget to do that, and you have a need for both a right fielder and a third baseman or a shortstop. Price is the same for both guys. Which one would you rather have?
I would probably take Machado. Simply because he's a more consistent hitter as far as all the elements of hitting goes. He does have a knee issue. He's had surgery on at least one knee. And that's always going to be a concern down the road when he reaches the age of 30. But, you know, if it comes to a point where he can't play shortstop anymore, which is where he claims he has to be with whoever team he signs with, he can easily move over to third base. So, and also the fact that Harper starts to worry me now with the kind of year he's having this year in his free agent walk year. It hasn't been very good other than the home runs.
So you would give a slight nod to Machado. Interesting. I think it's close, but I think you could go either way on that one. All right, specifically about Machado, why the Yankee interest?
Well, it's interesting. I guess the first thing you have to say is that Brian Cashman always shows interest in everybody who comes up on the free agent market, in the trade market or free agent market for that matter, who's an elite player. I mean, he's not one of these guys where, well, I don't need this guy. He may be an elite player. He's one of these guys that said, you know what, I'm going to kick the tires here and see what the price might be. We may not be able to do it anyway, but it doesn't hurt to ask. And I think that's what he's doing right now, because maybe he wouldn't have been so inclined to call Dan Duquette if there was a standout starting pitcher out there on the market where he could focus all his energies on. But that animal doesn't exist this year. So I think Cashman was maybe looking at possible different elements of how to better his team down the stretch and for the playoffs. But in honesty, I don't think this was ever going to realistically happen, because of the fact that, first of all, they don't need a third baseman, and Cashman yesterday made it very clear how he feels about Andujar. And the second thing is they have to figure out something about this pitching staff, and I don't see how adding an elite player at third base is going to address the pitching issues with his team. Yes, it may make the Yankees a better overall team, but and the other factor here is that I would find it hard to believe the Orioles would ever trade their best player to the New York Yankees. I mean, they have never made any kind of a trade like that as long as Peter Angelos has owned the team.
Right.
Now, Angelos is not in very good health right now. He may not even know that they've traded this guy. But the fact of the matter is, I just don't see them doing that, because they can't risk the fact that this player who's been their best player for a few years now is going to be coming back to Camden Yards three times a year for the foreseeable future. That's assuming the Yankees acquired him and then signed him long term.
Well, they can get a whole bunch of Yankee fans to come down and fill the seats, but I think they prefer own fans. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Right.
I've had this proposed to me by a couple of Yankee fans on Twitter and on the phones, that the only reason Cashman is talking to the Orioles is he believes he's driving up the price for whoever else is going to pay to acquire Manny Machado. I think it's about a 85-15 split, that if he's going to be dealt, he's going to be traded to a National League team anyway. But assuming that that's not the case, can he actually run up the price on somebody else by, quote-unquote, being in the bidding for Machado?
Absolutely. I don't know why he would really want to do that unless he and Dan Duquette have a relationship where they, you know, there'll be another favor from Dan Duquette to him down the road. But anytime the Yankees make it known that they're involved in the marketplace for a player, it automatically drives up the price because everybody in baseball knows the Yankees can get anybody they want, especially right now with this farm system that they got and this bevy of prospects they've got from all levels of their farm system. So when Cashman, you know, kicks the tires over there, the whole baseball world went into a feeding frenzy this week, as you know. Personally, I think he's going to go to the National League as well. I think he's going to go to either the Phillies or the Diamondbacks. That's just my guess.
And or maybe even the Dodgers, but I'm with you. I think it's going to be a National League team. All right, if the Yankees decide that what Toronto's asking for Jay Happ is too much, he's not pitching all that well right now. Cole Hamels, yes, World Series experience, playoff experience is a good thing, but he's having a lesser season than was expected or has had over the last 3, 4, 5 years, that there isn't a pitcher to be acquired. Who's going to be the fifth guy for the Yankees? Is it going to be Herman? They're going to keep trotting him out there? Sonny Gray hasn't pitched well. Can they bank on Loaisiga coming back and giving him anything? What do they do if they can't acquire an arm?
Well, I half facetiously wrote a column about this on Friday in which I said maybe the Yankees need to take a look at Tampa Bay, who is going with this. They call it their bullpen day, in which they pick some guy who can throw really hard, and they put him out there as their starting pitcher, and they leave him out there for an inning and a half or whatever, and then they follow that up with four or five other pitchers to get them to the game. I call it the bum of the inning club, and that's because none of these guys are good enough to be a real starting pitcher, although Sergio Romo has had like a third incarnation as their semi-closer and also occasional starter in this whole concept. And I was thinking that maybe and by the way, I hate to say this, but the Rays have had a lot of success with it.
Yeah, they've won more than they've lost.
Well, and they have the best team ERA in baseball since something like June 14th or something like that. Or even further back when they started this whole concept. So, you know, I thought of that this, and I said, well, the Yankees have this guy German. He's pretty good for a couple of innings. They've got some kids down at the farm team, Sheffield. They're going to probably bring him up at some point. And they have, you know, a couple of other people that they could patch together and use that as one of their starting pitchers that they're going to need down the stretch, in addition to what they already have. I think that ultimately they will probably trade for Happ or one of these guys, if nothing else, to give themselves starting depth. And remember, when we get to September, they can carry all kinds of pitchers and all kinds of extra players on the roster. So I think that's what it's going to be for the Yankees. It's going to be a patchwork thing.
Right. You got to get through the next 6 weeks, and then you've got a specialized month. But then you got the most important month of all, which is the playoffs. And then, yes, you have a roster, and you have to designate starters. And I don't know that any team is willing to go down to the start with the bullpen type way of doing things come postseason time. You can do it during the regular season. You can do it for your Tampa Bay. Be a little harder to do in the postseason.
In the postseason, Jody, as you can remember, since the World Series between the Cubs and the Indians a couple of years ago, when both Francona and Joe Maddon were just totally going crazy with their pitching, bringing their closers in the fifth inning or whatever. I think that's what in the postseason all bets are off as to how the pitching staff is handled.
Fair enough. You mentioned Machado could land in either Arizona or Philadelphia. I think you got to at least keep the Dodgers in it as a possibility. Is where Manny Machado lands going to dictate who's coming out of the National League? Because right now, all those teams are pretty damn close to me.
You know, I don't know. You know, the Dodgers are an interesting case here. People say they're in this thing, but I really wonder why. Because, first of all, Chris Taylor's done a nice job filling in at shortstop for Seager. And Seager's their best player, and he's coming back next year. So what are they going to do? Are they going to give up a lot of prospects to get Manny Machado as a rental for 3 months? Are they going to really do that? They don't need to do that. So that's why I'm a little curious about this supposed Dodger interest. Obviously, if they got Machado, they would be a better team, and that could make the difference between them and Arizona or the Giants in the National League West. But I'm just very curious about that.
Do you think the Dodgers are the team to beat? Is it the Cubs? Milwaukee's got the best record. Philly's only a game behind Milwaukee for the best record in the National League. You add Machado, that certainly upgrades their lineup. I think it's wide open in the NL overall as to who's coming out. You got a couple of beasts in the American League in the Astros and the Red Sox and the Yankees. You don't have a beast in the NL. Who's the team to beat for you?
Well, like in answer to your first question, I think Machado makes a big difference if the Phillies get him for them. And I think to a slightly lesser extent, Arizona as well. That's why I still think those are the two teams. I think the Phillies get Machado. With their pitching, the way it's come around this year, and that they get this extra bat like his in the lineup, I think that automatically makes them close to be the best team in the National League.
Boom Madden here with us on The Fan. All right, we're past the midterm report, so take it from the amount of games that we played, what's left in the season. A to F, feel free to add pluses or minus if you see fit. Give me your grade for the two first-year managers here in New York.
Well, I give Aaron Boone, I would give him, I would give Aaron a B, I think, and I would, because he's had, obviously, he had a bad night last night with that one play with Judge running. But other than that, I think he's done a really good job as far as the team chemistry and the way he's handled himself and the team. Callaway, not so much. I would give Callaway a D. I think I'm very disappointed in him. He was brought in here as supposedly the great communicator, and I don't think he's been the great communicator, and I don't think he's been a very good manager so far.
Has he been overmatched with the job or overmatched by the town?
Maybe a little of both, but I think more by the job. I mean, let's remember, this guy was a pitching coach. He was never a manager. So, and it's showing. He's had a lot of problems with decision-making on the field, and he's starting to now have some problems with the New York media, and that can be the death knell for any manager in this town.
Best guess scenario on the Mets in their general manager position, when will we have one person in place? Can this three-headed monster stay in place for months into the offseason? Will they make a call? Are they still hoping that Sandy Alderson comes back? When are we going to have one general manager of the New York Mets next?
Well, I find it very interesting that Jeff Wilpon and other people there, they've gone out of their way to say that they're going to look outside the organization. They may not hire outside the organization, but they're going to look outside the organization. I think you have to take that very seriously because everybody just assumed that John Rico was the heir apparent once Sandy decided to retire. Well, clearly, the Mets ownership is saying that's not the case. We're going to look at other people outside the organization. So that's kind of something that, I think we have to take seriously. Like I said before, it may be that they're going to go outside the organization because otherwise, why would they be even saying that?
Right.
Why would they not say that, no, we love Omar for what he does in the scouting situation, and we love John Rico for what he does as far as the nuts and bolts of a general manager's job.
And once you say you're going outside the organization, if you decide not to go outside, then you go, well, why did you even bother? If you had the guy, why didn't you just give the guy the job? Why do you have to go through the whole dog and pony show? You're telling me you couldn't find one other legitimate candidate out there and you just kept your inside guy anyway? Yeah, they opened up a can of worms when they went there. Bill, great stuff.
Exactly.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you much. We will certainly touch base down the line. Thanks for hopping on.
Okay, Jody. Take care.